We are going to learn Perek Ches today, but in introduction to Perek Ches, we're right in the middle of discussing the issue here of Klipas Noiga, meaning what happens when we are involved in the areas of life that we generally refer to as Parah, things that are not mitzvah, nor are they prohibited. The Baal Tanya last week in Perek Zayin talked about the fact that this level of Klipas Noiga, which is the Parah area, spoke about the fact that there are four areas of Klipa, three of which are Asur, they are totally prohibited. Those involve all the things that are, whether they are on the level of Chai, Medaber, or Tzomeach, but they are essentially, inherently, Asur. Those things can't be redeemed. There's nothing we can do with them. However, the area called Noiga, that klipa called Noiga, and again, this is not a creation of the Baal Tanyas, this is from Kisvi Ari, in fact, going back all the way to the Zohar. And we'll see in a moment how the Bnei Sascha discusses this. But we're really right in the middle of the topic, and the Bnei Sascha here is going to shed some beautiful light on a concept which is really, really exciting. So this is in his Maimorim on Shabbos. Again, the Bnei Sascha was authored by the Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov. It's one of the classics written on the months of the year. So, in this version, it's Daf Kuf Chavav. If you have any of the other versions, this is in Maimor Yud Ois Dalet. He says as follows. Let's learn it inside. We'll give it 15 minutes. Should take us about 15 minutes. And just you get a whole new appreciation for something that we do all the time. And it really sheds light on the chapter in Tanya that we're learning. The Gemara in Ksubis Daf Kuf Yud says, Kol Yimei Oni Ra'im. All the days of a poor man are bad. Asks the Gemara, Umaksha, what do you mean they're bad? Va'ikah Shabbosis, we have him typing. What about Shabbos and Yontif? Those are good days. Why are those bad? Asks the Bnei Yisoscha, L'chayra, Eina Muvin, my kushya. What is the Gemara asking here? V'chi ein ani ba'elam shle yilay letzarech einik Shabbos v'yantiv. What? Don't we have people that don't even have food for Shabbos and Yantiv? So what is the Gemara taking for granted? What do you mean you have Shabbos and Yantiv? So what? So there are people who don't have money or food for Shabbos and Yantiv either. Yesterday, I was in Borough Park, checking out at a restaurant. A takeout place, and in front of me is a well-dressed, seemed like a bachring, a man, I'm not sure how old he was, and I'm about to check, and he says, can you buy me something to eat? I haven't had any food all day. This is supper time. I mean, it was a total wipeout for me. I'm a guy standing there in the middle of Bar Park, and I haven't had anything to eat all day. Well-dressed, it wasn't like one of these people seemed to be off balance. So that's what the Gemara is saying. What do you mean? There are people who don't have money for Shabbos and Yantim. Ukvar Amru. What's more, he proves it. Ukvar Amru Asei Shabbat Chachol V'Atitztarach L'Brius. He quotes you the Gemara that says it's better to have a very simple Shabbos and not to take money from people. Says the Bnei Yisoscha, Beniru the Farish, B'Mashikosu B'Sefer Avos Ha'Olam. He brings here in the footnotes who the Avos Ha'Olam is. It's Rabbi Yamin Rebbe Lezer Vitali. He was a Kadmain who says as follows: Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im. All the days of the poor man are bad. Hakavana ala ani bedas. This isn't talking about a person who doesn't have money. This is talking about a person who is an ani in seichel. Di'itma mishmeda Arizal tam, a magnificent thing that Arizal writes. Tam loman neser habasa la adam arishon. Why were Adam and Chava not allowed to eat meat? Ad achra mabel, until humanity was not allowed to eat meat until after the flood. Huter habosel leben noach. At that point, meat became permissible to noach's children. As he explains, the mikaidim lechein lehayin neshames bnei adam milgulgolim bebalichayim. Prior to the flood, human beings were not reincarnated into animals. Therefore, lehutzuchu lechol abalchay, there was no need to eat animals. Ach kashachotu hadoiris, when the generation sinned, and the reality came into existence that humans needed to be megugling to animals, azay hutalem lechal abalchai, it became permissible to eat animals, sha'al yidei achilas b'nei adam l'shem shamayim, because when people ate correctly for the sake of heaven, al piyat Torah, and halachically correctly, es habalchai, they ate the animal, shemegulgul boy is a neshama, and in that animal would be some neshama, humailis a neshama hil umetakna. Then he elevates that soul. Memela, therefore, zeurak lo osher bedas, that's for a person who is gifted in mind. Shu oichel l'shem shamayim, it's a person who knows how to eat for the sake of heaven. V'yelech b'koyuch achila ahil eteirva ulavoyd, he goes with the energy that he just ate that flesh to Torah and Avoyda. This is not the case with the person who eats only to fill his desire and to give pleasure to his body. Therefore, the Gemara in Pesachim says that it's forbidden for an ignoramus to eat meat. This is now the explanation. Kol yimei aniroim, all the days of the poor man are bad. This is, again, he's quoting here from, this isn't his own explanation, this is from this Aves HaElam. Hainu ani bedas, this refers to people who are impoverished in mind. Ki li'ish kezeh asolech al-basar. Ad kan divrei haravanal. This is the meaning of kol yimei aniroim, all the days of the poor man are bad, because he can never eat flesh. It's right here, guys. You can't eat flesh. Says the Bnei Soscha based upon that. Ulefiza yunach divrei hamakshal anal b'gemaras. Now the Gemara's question makes perfect sense. V'ika Shabbos es v'yamim tovim. What do you mean? There's still Shabbos in Yantiv. Do a mitzvah min atoyer la'anikas haShabbos. Shabbos, you don't have to worry about eating correctly, because there's a mitzvah from the Torah to give pleasure on Shabbos, even if you don't have any great kavanas while you're eating. As long as the person is fulfilling the mitzvah of Einig Shabbos, it's going to be considered a mitzvah. Since ultimately it is a mitzvah, it doesn't make a difference what the person has in mind. Therefore, everybody can eat meat on Shabbos, because no matter what, it's considered a mitzvah. Continues, look at this, letter Hey. This is why there is a chiyuv, an obligation, to read the Targum of Unklus with the Psukim B'tzirif B'Igia Shabbos, when Shabbos comes. Why? Ki Targum Husoid Klipas Noiga. The Arizal writes, the Targum is the concept of Klipas Noiga. Why? So if you take a look at the footnote, quoting the Arizal Pri Etz Chaim, and really it's explained even better in the works of Imre Pinchas, from Pinchas Koritza, he says that everything in the world has to have a mamutza, there has to be a middle ground. The middle ground between a human and an animal is an ape. The middle between, he goes through all of these various mumutas, fascinating things. There's a whole list of them. The language, which is the mumutza between Lashon Kodesh and all other languages, is Targum. Is Targum, is Aramaic. No. And therefore, it's Klipas Noiga. Go back up on top. Ashehi mitzron is ben ha-kodesh ben ha-choyl. Noiga is this middle pariv thing that can go either way. Now, he says as follows. He explains it here, almost using the same language that the Baal Tanya used last week. V'yadua, and everybody knows, d'kol advarim v'chol ha-balechayim ha-asurim ba-achila al piyatayr, all matters in the world, and all animals that are biblically prohibited, or even rabbinically prohibited, chiyusam hu-hi min ha-shalish klipas ha-tameis, their life source comes from the absolute impure Klipas. Therefore, they're totally forbidden. There's no way to rectify anything that comes from these three totally impure dark side klipas, k'mashiyah la'asid b'mer yameinu, until they are totally nullified, which will happen soon in our day. She is batlu shalosh klipas hatmeis. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to destroy them. The haim near mazin begimel klipas shel egois, they are alluded to in the three outer shells of a nut. She'enem ru'im la'achila klal b'shamayif. In the hard shell, let's say, of a walnut, right, is not edible under any terms. So evidently, there are some nuts that have three inedible shells. But in contrast to this, all vegetables, plants, fruit, animals that are permissible, v'achil al pitayra, nishmasan v'chiyusan humina klipa harevias. Their soul comes from the fourth one, which is klipas noiga. That is this kosher klipa. Asher hi mitzron is, it is a middle ground ben kodesh l'chol, between that which is sanctified and that which is mundane. Uba b'chinas tevra, and it always has a mixture of good and evil. Okay? Remind me to come back to the Targum. V'hine be'achol ha'adam esabal l'chayim alalu akshayrim, when a person eats any one of these animals that are kosher, b'kavan eretzuya l'shem shamayim, and he eats it for the right purpose, for the sake of heaven. For example, and using the energy of the flesh that the person ate, he goes ahead and davens and learns and serves and does achnosas orachim and does mitzvahs. Then he elevates the essence of this klipa, ela kodesh penima, to the side of the sanctity. And the bad drops away, because the klipa, by definition, is a shell with kedusha inside. Every time a person elevates it and sanctifies it, the evil of it falls away. The good of it is elevated and sanctified. Now, I know Gimel Klipas Hatameus Mispardim Lenukva de Toyim Rabbi, using Kabbalistic language here. Those three Gimel Klipas are totally sent off into the abyss. And therefore, since we've elevated the klipas noiga to sanctity, there's nothing feeding them. He's saying here, that we got to understand that every time, and Baltanya talks about this also, that every time we enter the realm of the forbidden, we are strengthening those three klipas hatmeis. We're feeding them. Whereas when we elevate klipas noiga, we're taking away their chiyas. So again, there's no power. We're either lifting the world of kedusha and lowering the world of darkness, or we're lifting the world of, God forbid, the darkness and lowering the world of kedusha. Masha ein kein becholo adam afilo achilus hakshedus vamutarois al pi atora lemalas tavoso lanigufay. But if a person is just stuffing themselves for their own pleasure, even if it's totally kosher food, then quite the contrary, or God forbid, feeding even the kosher klipas noiga, we're feeding it to the dark klipas hatmeis. So on this level, if there's no God consciousness, then it's not okay. Now it's interesting, because my uncle Shlaima said that if a person consciously approaches food even with the thought of, is it kosher, they've already brought it into the realm of kedusha. For sure, if a person said a bracha. Meaning, you got to know who you are. Most of us are not going to sit down and think about the oisius of basar with the milui of the shemis and you know, elevate the basar. It's just not where we are. But we could be expected to say Shachal Ne'abidvare and remember that it is different than an Ashiyotzer. Right? That is a fair expectation. Alkane, for this reason, says, this is a magnificent thought that he adds here, Alkane Nikr Klipas Noiga V'Zayar Kodesh Tikla. We find that in the Zayar, Klipas Noiga is referred to as a scale. Remember the old-fashioned scales that have the two sides that hang? There's a word for them, a balance scale or something. That's how it's referred to. Hainu mishkol kaf maznaim. It's the type of scale. Asher kol asher yachbitz yatenu. We make the decision, meaning what, by definition, when one side goes down, the other side goes up.
It's a bechira. This is all about a bechira in the moment.
Well, but it's bechira within a very specific realm here of elevating this particular klipa.
You're saying you have to have in mind when you're doing it.
That's what he's saying.
On Shabbos, when you make a moitzah.
No, Shabbos, you don't have to. Shabbos is different.
If you have bread, if a meal, you're not having in mind doing everything.
No. He's saying, again, if you're capable of having kavanas ari,
right,
then you're supposed to have kavanas ari. But for those of us who are not expected.
So that moitzah carries the whole meal?
Right. Okay. Correct. Or saying Dimitri, there you have another concept.
No,
it's
acknowledging the source.
Vusoid klipa revius shebeegos. He said, this is the secret of the fourth shell that's on a nut. On each piece of nut, no matter which nut it is, there's always a very paper thin peel on it. Shenecheles ima oichel. You can eat that when you're eating the nut. Nobody just eats that thin thing. Nobody just eats that. Halvei nadavar, understand this well, says the Bnei Yisrael. V'inei, going back to what Gabi just said, this applies during the week. This isn't the case on Shabbos. Given the mitzvah, since on Shabbos there's a mitzvah to give pleasure to the body, to eat and drink in the honor of Shabbos, hine bevadai for certain, malin al yidei kol elu atanugim agashmim, we're able to elevate through these physical pleasures, esachiyah shabem, the life source, miklipas noigel lekdusha, from that level of klipa to kedusha. Okay. For this reason, listen carefully, haklipas noiga nis'alis elakodesh, the entire realm of klipas noiga is elevated to holiness, b'igiyah zman ha'ara Shabbos. When the light of Shabbos begins to shine, Shabbos, Friday afternoon, klipas noiga in its entirety is elevated. V'agimah klipas ha'tameyas nidoch in the nukhut tem rabbet. It's at that moment that the dark side is totally tishmetet, they're wiped out. B'soy da'kosev, like we say, this is the meaning of, the simple meaning of the pasuk. We say all of your enemies, Hashem, they're all Shabbos, they're totally wiped out. Al Kain Oimrim Targum. For this reason, we say the Targum Shusoid Klipas Noiga Betzira Famikra Hamen Adama. Now, on the footnote, he go back a page to Kufchovav. And he adds another really fascinating twist about the reading of Targum, which is Klipas Noiga, on Friday afternoon, which is that time between the week and Shabbos, the Zman of Elias Klipas Noiga, and that there's one other mamutza between Bnei Yisrael and the Umas, and that is the Neshamas of potential Gerim. Look at the last line here, and the right-hand column on the bottom. Umimena b'chinas geirim, shadipamim noita l'kedusha. Sometimes the potential of geirim goes to kedusha. Upamim isapechas l'tuma, and sometimes it descends into tuma, meaning the ones that don't convert. V'unklis hoyim b'chinas noiga. Unklis hager was on that level of noiga. V'rotzu l'sakin oisav v'tikun targum. That for this reason, unklis, who is a ger from Klipas Noiga, is the one who establishes Targum, which is from Klipas Noiga, which is set on Friday afternoon, which is the Zman of the Aliyah's Klipas Noiga, and that's why he says you should dafka do it on Friday from the 6 hour and on, but the others say Friday Bechlal. But this is the concept of, and again, it's that during that time that Adam HaRishon ate, created the Taruvas of Tovara, right? That was Friday afternoon. So that was the time when Adam HaRishon made the Taruvas, so we go and reverse it by elevating Klipas Noiga, by saying Targum with the Chumash, and that's why we say Tavka twice Chumash and once Targum, to connect the Noiga to a majority of Kedusha, and so on. So you get the idea of how central this idea of the elevation of Klipas Noigais.
So it's like, when the Gemara says basa, is that including everything, or is it specifically saying...
I think it's meat.
Because then how do you answer the rest in hay when it says you eat anything?
Meaning that the prohibition the Gemara says only applies to meat.
So therefore, Gilgonim, according to the Gemara, is only in Basa.
Right.
But later on, he said here that it includes everything.
That everything belongs to Klipas Noigais. He said it here in Klipa in Perek Zayin. The Baal Tanya said it especially strongly. Anything permissible.
Right. So I'm saying, so how does the Gemara just say it just applies to this meat? If that's the case,
the prohibition only applies to the meat. Meaning that in Amaretz, because by meat you know for sure that there is a Gilgal in it. By other things, not necessarily so.
It's a fish, isn't it?
Fish is also, that's true.
Like, right?
Tzadikim.
Yeah. So it doesn't say it. It says that specifically. Shashus.
Oh. Yeah. By fish, the Taka says it. Dafkit Nishmas Tzadikim, by the way.
Okay. Fine. All
right.
I'm just saying, bring the Rashi to the Gemara, then. It's kind of a question.
All right. Let's take it on and finish up this concept here.
When a person is making, when a person eats that meat or fish, are they putting sort of a component of that soul into them?
Sure.
As well?
Sure, you're going to see it right now. Here we go. Perikas, chapter 8, page 24. Ve'odzais b'machalos asuris. I want to tell you one more thing about machalos asuris. So he said last week that when we're talking about machalos asuris that they can't be elevated. He says, I want to tell you something else. Not only is it dependent upon a person's thought that he spoke about earlier, that Klipas Noigais is elevated based upon the person's thought, but I want to tell you something else. Shelikach nikroim b'shem isur. It is for this reason that prohibited things, we use the term isur, mipnei sha'af misha'ochel meichel isur b'loy hoida. I want to tell you that even if, God forbid, a person goes out and buys a package of food and has a good heksher on it, he didn't know, but it was asur. He did it by mistake. And he did it in the Shem Shemayim. He had in mind the best of thoughts. What's more, La'avid Hashem b'koyach achilahi, he served Hashem with that energy. V'gam pol v'ozakein, and Itaka did it. Not only did he intend to do it, but Itaka served Hashem. He ate a sandwich, which wasn't kosher, and he went and served Hashem with it. V'kara, and he learned, v'ispalol b'koyach achilahi, and he davened with that energy. Ein hachiyah sheba oyla umislabeshes b'tevis ha'toyrev ha'tvila. The energy that's in that food will not be elevated and will not be garbed in the letters of Torah and Tefillah, Kamaya Heter, as the permissible would be. Why? Mipnei Isura Bidea Sitra Achre, because it is tied up, it's locked up in the hands of the dark side, Mishalish Klipas HaTemeis, in the hands of those three totally forbidden sources. V'afilu isid rabbanon, even if it is only prohibited from the rabbis, shachamurim divaser from Yosef Midivater, we find many times that the words of Chazal are even more stringent than those of the biblical prohibitions. Now, he introduces here a very, very interesting phenomena. Ulechein, he says, I got to tell you, gam ayetzahara, even the inclination, v'koyach hamis'ave l'dvarim ha'asurim, and the very desire that we have for things which are prohibited, hushed misheden nukhraim. He says, I want to tell you, when we find ourselves desiring the prohibited, you should understand that we are overcome by a goyisha shade. It's not, he says like this, if we're in the right place, we should have desires, but desires for kosher food. That's a Jewish Yetzirah. If we find ourselves desiring the prohibited, we're off track. Hushed misheden nuchrayin, it is
a Jewish Yetzirah, meaning you want kosher food, but you want to overeat it? What's the Yetzirah?
You want to do it just for the sake of stuffing your face. Shu Yetzirah shel umes avedis gelidim. We should understand that the prohibited is a Yetzirah of the idolatrous nations, Shenaf Shesein, as we discussed earlier, whose souls are Mishalish Klipas HaTemeis, come from those three totally dark Klipas. Wait, right. But that desire, he's talking about the Yetzirah, you should understand that we've stepped over a line. Masha'enken, in contrast to what Zach was saying, Hayet Zahara v'koyach ha'misav v'l'dvar ma'mbatorim, if a person finds themselves coveting, desiring, lusting mutter things, l'ma'alis tavosai, to fulfill his own desire, then hushayd m'shayd the new door, then he's overcome by a Jewish demon. But at least it's a hamish demon. L'fisha yochel lachsa v'kedusha k'dlel. At least this guy, this power, has the ability of coming back. Because as we discussed last week, if a person oversteps the boundary, they can do tshuva. But he's never going to re-elevate. Whereas here, even if a person is gluttonous and they stuff their faces, at least if it's a Jewish Yetzirah, it can be redeemed. However, let him finish. Yeah, it's Klipas Noga. Ach mikol makom koydim shechaza l'kedusha, but you got to understand that the damage is done. If a person is self-indulgent, and he then goes ahead and learns and does good things with the energy, there is some damage that's done. Koydim shechaza l'kedusha, before he elevated it, hu sitra achro klipa. We got to understand that at that time it still was in the domain of the other side. And as a result, there is a small impression left on the body. Because ultimately, food and drink, not to take of damu basam, it becomes part of who the person is. This is the reason why, after death, the body needs to go through a cleansing process called chibut hakever. It's some fluttering of the body, to cleanse the person from the various impact. Again, this is from early Kabbalistic works. To cleanse the person from the various forms of pleasure that they received in this world, vitanugav, and its pleasures, mitumas klipas naiga, from the form of klipas naiga, which was not done kule l'shem shemayim, v'sheidin yehudayim. He says, I'm talking about the Jewish yetzahara. Even that a person needs to be cleansed from. Elim ken, except for those people, mishalein nehenam aylam hazeh, kol yomav k'rabeinu kadosh, except for people who can say about themselves that they never indulged in the pleasures of this world, like the Mishnah says about, the Gemara says about Yehuda Nasi. Another example. V'aldvarim b'telim b'heter. What about idle talk? Schmoozing. Okay? Permissible schmoozing. Kigoyin amaretz. How can you have permissible schmoozing? You have a person who's an ignoramus. Sheini yochel ilmet. He doesn't know how to learn. Again, that person, that person will need to cleanse themselves from the klipa of Dvarim Betelim. The Zohar speaks about a concept called Kafakela, which is the different explanations of what it is, the slingshot of, or it's a person who still imagines they're in this world chasing pleasures. There's very scary stuff written about that. Chibut HaKever is a cleansing of the body that's in the grave. Now, so that's all among the permissible, okay? That's easy stuff. Easy atonement. Aval diburim isurim. But when it comes to forbidden talk, kemoy litzonis, like mockery, scoffery, v'loshen hara, uki yoytze behem, Shain Mishalish Klipas Atmeas Ligami, those things which are from the forbidden realm of speech. Ein Kafakela Levade Moil. Then Kafakela itself is not adequate. Litire to cleanse, Ulahavit to Masa Mea Nefesh, and to clean the person up. Then Rak Tsikhaler Liganim. Then the person's got to go through a full wash and dry cycle in Gehenim. Vichain Misha Epshalay Lasik Betur. This is a very uncommon in this sefer. It really does not focus on this type of stuff. A person who had the ability to study Torah, and rather than studying Torah, he reads comics. Then kafakela itself will not be adequate to cleanse it, to purify it. Rak einshim chamurim. There, it's going to require serious punishment. Shemanishim al bitul Torah bepratos. The bitul Torah especially has very harsh realities. Milvad einish haklali l'chol bitul mitzvah asay. Worse than the general punishments for a person who has violated the opportunity to perform a positive mitzvah. Machmas atzlus due to laziness. Gehenim shel shalik, there's a special Gehenim of the Midwest. Kimavaya b'makimach. V'chein, except for those people who went through it in life. V'chein ha'ezek b'chol. Oh, this is really wild. Now, v'chein ha'ezek b'chachmas u'mes evdi gilulim. So too, people who voluntarily dabble in the wisdoms of the nations. Bichlal dvarim b'teilim yichoshev. That's also nonsense. Just empty nonsense. Le'inyan oven bitul Torah. K'meshiksev bilchas Talmud Torah. Like it says in the laws of Talmud Torah that if a person wants to just study for the sake of becoming smart, and there's no advantage, we'll see in a moment what the exceptions are. But there's no purpose other than, you know, the fascination of it, then it's bitul Torah. But worse than bitul Torah, yiseira tumasa shel chachmas ha'umes evdi gilulim al tumes dvarim b'teilim. He says there is an extreme danger in the wisdom of the nations over and above just the sin of bitul Torah and dvarim b'teilim. Why? Because when a person just talks nonsense, sports, okay? Ainam malbish umitame. At that time that the person's involved in arguing about whether the Packers should have lost the playoff game or should not have lost the playoff game. So at that time, ainam malbish umitame rak hamidos. At that time, the only thing that's involved is their character trait. They're getting excited about it, right? Miyaseid haruach hakadosh habanash. Remember, speech stems from the ruach in a person, or the kiss. And what are they doing it? They got it involved with Tumas Klipas Naiga, Shebidwaram Batalam. They, when they're talking sports, so they got it involved. It's kosher, right? It's Klipas Naiga. It could be elevated. You could be playing sports and enjoying sports because you need a break because you want to go back and learn afterwards. There are ways to make that permissible. So it's Klipas Naiga. It's not prohibited. Haboyim Yisayda Ruach Hara Shebiklipazu. That this stems from the nonsense speech element. B'nafshei Bahamas Kedilel, as we discussed earlier. So the person who's involved in that, when it's not evil, is just wasting time. And as a result, at that moment, they have taken the spirit, the ruach aspect, and have their minds and their speech involved in that realm of the physical soul. But v'loy b'chinas chabad she'b'nafshei. At that moment, they have not involved their intellect. Because it's stam nonsense. How much intellect does a person need to use for the stupid Super Bowl? So it's not involving their intellect in something that's impure. You go into any bar in Wisconsin, they're talking about football. Clearly, that doesn't involve any level of intellect. But when we're talking about true intellectual wisdom that comes from the idolaters, at that moment, at that moment he is embodying and contaminating, he's taking his God-given, fabulous intellect,
studying math
and studying worthless idolatrous concepts. But Tumas Klipas Noiga Shebuchach Maseilu. Again, he's not referring to it as prohibited. We're not dealing with. Wait, he's going to talk about that in a minute. That's permissible if it's for Panasa.
Yeah.
Here he's talking about somebody who's just doing it for the intellectual high. Where did this intellect come from? It came from the process called Shriyas HaKelim. That's how it ended up there in the first place. He's being very complimentary to all these wisdoms. He's saying that they come from very deep, high places. There's a lot of Chachma here. But it's Chachma that is under the dominion of, the ownership of, the dark side. Ki yidul yedichen. Ela im kein. Unless the person is utilizing these wisdoms as a hatchet, as a shovel to dig or to cut with, if he's using it because he's going to make more money, so that he can have parnasa, not just parnasa, but listen to these words. Parnasa berevach, a lot of money, so that he could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu well.
If you're not going to have a lot of money through it, you should just clean bathrooms or something.
Shiyadei al yishtavishvim l'avedis Hashem. Or that the person can utilize it. This is a lot of people do this. You want to go out and do kiruv, you want to talk to people, you better know what you're talking about. You better sound like you know and understand what people are talking about. So either terosay, or if you're talking about geometry, or you're talking about algebra, or different chachmas that you can't understand how to build a mikveh and how to figure out how much wine needs to be in a kais, to understand Rashi and Tosis and Psochim without algebra was one of the most frustrating things that I ever came across. For those of us who don't have math minds, and he concludes, v'zetame shala Rambam v'Ramban. This was the reason of Maimonides and Nachmanides, who studied these wisdoms, that it was either for parnasa berevach, or it was because they figured out how to use all these intellects to greatly enhance their Torah study. The Vilna Gaon was noted. The Vilna Gaon wrote what mathematical books that I believe are still, some sources are still used to this very day. Ramchal was a mathematical genius. I mean, there were people who understood the sciences unparalleled. And they, for them, it tremendously enhanced their understanding of Torah. But for people who are just reading, World War, the Civil War history because they want to know the Civil War history, and at the same time, they could be learning something constructive. And again, it's not for the purpose of clearing their minds or for relaxation. There are many ways that a person can take activities, mind breakers, various things, and utilize those things for Avedis Hashem, provided the person is honest about why they're doing them, setting a time. Someone told me that Bianca Weinberg, Zechana Lebrocha, once said, sleeping in for Shacharis is unacceptable. But if you paskin the night before that you need some extra sleep, so it's a psak to sleep in, that's okay. Yeah, that's a different thing. That's a person who's not just, it's not just an appetite, it's not just laziness. A person came to a recognition, I need to sleep.
Four times or something.
Every day.
So, what about, get it through?